Amen.
And Chuck, I'm thankful that we can have these conversations with Proverbs. And that's basically what it is a conversation with the Holy Spirit, word, sitting down talking to us every time we go through His Word. He's discussed it with us in His way of how He wants our mindset to be, so that we can understand God's wisdom. So I appreciate that prayer. I want to go back just a little bit, because I know we got several people in here, maybe four people in here that weren't here on the first class, to understand the Proverbs better as we go through it, is to understand how Proverbs uses various words. And so I'm just going to go over that dictionary of words again, so that as we continue on with these people that didn't have the advantage of listening to this or hearing this on the first day. It's what I call the Proverbs dictionary. What is wisdom, by the way? Let's define what wisdom is.
Fear the Lord. Knowledge of God.
Wisdom is knowledge, understanding.
It's a use of knowledge. It's the right way, God's way to use knowledge. Knowledge is out there, but wisdom is God's way of using wisdom. When he refers to the word instruction in here, what context should we take in our mind? What is he talking about here? Most all the way through Proverbs, when you see the word instruction.
Discipline.
Okay. As God's way of giving you instruction, it's discipline. He's talking about discipline. Parents disobeying this part of wisdom is one reason our generation, particularly this generation we got now, where the kids are out of hand. We've lost control. We didn't discipline. We've lost control of them. We try to give them more than what we had. Better understanding what we have. So we lost them. We've lost a lot of them. How about prudence? When you use the word prudence, what are we talking about here?
Accountability, foresight.
Foresight. What you say today, how's that going to affect you in the future? When you start a discussion with somebody, have you realized what the consequences of what you're saying is going to be in the future? How about when we say the word simple?
Common sense.
No. Sinner or a rascal turned your back on God.
Talking about a person.
Oh,
he's
simple.
Not talking about it when he says a simple person. He's not talking about someone who's born with less intelligence. It's just the rascal type sinners who keep just repeating themselves over and over again. How about knowledge? What is knowledge? Knowledge, by the way, let me tell you, knowledge is information. It's up to everybody. It's how you use that knowledge to get. How much IQ is needed to have good wisdom?
Zero.
Nowhere in here is IQ, intelligence, mentioned. But godly wisdom. How about discretion? When you use the word discretionary,
respect for what's desirable.
What's desirable and appropriate for that time. You can catch somebody that wants to discuss somebody who's within the simple act of committing sin, and you can blow your top. But that's not the time to do it. The time to do it is when you get them off to the side. Learning, of course, is the ability to execute. It's like you can sit down and read books and books on how to play baseball, but until you really get up there and swing at bat or get that glove in the hand and catch that glove, you haven't really learned it. And here, when you see the word here, that's God's imperative to you. Obey. Hear what I'm saying. Obey what I'm saying. getting upset. Sound counsel. Where do we find sound counsel?
God first.
God first. And then?
And then a godly friend.
Godly friend. Sound counsel. All right, one other one we got here is understanding. And you see the word understanding, and you're going to see that word quite a bit through the Proverbs. Mm-hmm. What are we saying here? We say understanding.
Common sense.
Common sense, horse sense. It's horse sense. It's when you know God's mindset, which means all the things He takes into the context when He saying something to us or we're saying to someone else, it should boil down to just plain common sense. It's not that we're brilliant that we've solved that problem. It's not brilliant that we've got out of this fight or we made a business decision about it. It's all just common sense of putting all the facets of God's wisdom into action. And that's what we're trying to do here. It's a class on basically, I like to think a Sunday morning sit-down discussion with the Holy Spirit's word here that God has provided for. So we're in chapter 4 today. Chapter 4. Chapter 4 is divided into three discourses, very similar to what was in chapter 2 and 3. Verses 1 through 9 is one discourse. 10, verses 10 through 19 is another discourse. And then 20 through 27 is the third. They're mainly two subjects, or three subjects really, that we're going to cover in these chapters. The praise of wisdom and the blessing from which He gives, and then the curses of evil when we don't do that. In spite of the fact that these verses are being delivered in the form of instructions, by the way, this entire chapter may be read as though God is speaking to all men and women everywhere about today's problems. And that includes you and me. So let's get into chapter 4 a little bit. The security of wisdom as we start off. Then push this button here.
He starts off, he says, "Hear my children the instructions of the Father." And we've seen this phrase or these words phrased a little bit differently. "Hear my son," "listen to me, my son," quite often. And that tells you that he sat down and he said, "I've just sat down with you and I just want you to listen to me now. I want to tell you something. I just want you to sit down and listen to me and let's take this in." He says, "Hear my children the instruction of my Father and give attention to understanding." He says, "Don't turn your back on me. Don't turn me off in your earplugs or whatever you got. Now's the time to sit down here and let's discuss something." He says, like in verse 2, "I'm going to give you good doctrine. I'm going to give you something that you can use. I'm going to give you something that will be good for you. So that's why I want you to listen to me. I'm going to give you the common sense of all good that's out there that you can put into your life." He says, "For I give you good doctrine, my law." He says, "Do not forsake my law," because we're talking about the law of Moses here. Is basically the law he's talking about. He said, "When I was my father's son," coming out of the Bible, you've got to understand this. He's just having a frank discussion with you. He says, "When I was my father's son," let me tell you what happened when I was, just like we're carrying on a discussion here. "When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother." In other words, I was a favorite child. I was just a young boss. When I was my father's son and tender the sight of my mother. "So he also taught me and said to me," Let your heart retain my words. Store these things up in your heart. Listen to what I'm telling you. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. That's what I'm telling you. That's why I want to go keep that dictionary of words that you want to kind of see, understand the meanings, because these are used over and over in Proverbs. He says, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. I just don't know how anybody could sit down with you and just have a more casual conversation than that. Just like you would sit down with your son if you want to discipline him. So let me tell you what's wrong here. Let me tell you why you don't want to do that, son. Let me tell you the consequences of doing that. If this father here is basically, in those days, this was the way of passing down from generation to generation, not only the customs, but the rules and the laws of God. Nowadays, you can put it down in the book, or you can put it on a pad, or you can record it some way. But this was the way to pass things down from generation to generation. And this is exactly what the idea he's trying to get across to us here. I'm sitting down with you now, and I'm talking to you just like my father talked to me, and I'm going to talk to you, and I want you to talk to your son just like I'm talking to you. He says, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Always seek wisdom. Never stop trying to get wisdom. You'll never get it all. It's one thing, one subject matter that will never say, I got it made. I'm the wisest guy in town now. I've got it made. In fact, that's probably the most unwise thing you can say. I'm the wisest man in town. That proves how dumb you are. What a fool you are to say something like that. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. He says, if you listen to me, son, he says, my words will keep you. Don't turn away from them. If you do that, then God will protect you just like he's protected me. Love her. Just don't listen, just don't appreciate her, and just don't understand what I'm saying to you, but love what I'm telling you. Love her words, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. I don't know how, unless I just sat down and wrote to you 20 or 30 times, get wisdom, get wisdom, get wisdom. I'm telling you, get wisdom. I mean, God is pleading with you over and over again. I mean, you can't misunderstand that, what he's trying to get across to you. And he wouldn't tell you to get it if you couldn't get it, if it wasn't available to you and me. We all think, and I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, you know, it's somebody else. But God is telling you right here in his own words. It's there. I'm telling you, you get it. I'm going to give it to you. Just take it. Says, love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Nothing is more important than getting wisdom. Let's stop just for a short period here and make sure that we fully understand what wisdom will do for us. And I think some of us might comprehend a lot of it, but let's fully understand what wisdom will take care of or will help you take care of. Financial problems. Job problems. You got problems with your job. You know, whether it's your fault or whether it's somebody else's fault. You know, how can I get through that? God's wisdom covers that. I just ran across last night. We were at a friend's house and saw an old cousin through one of my in-laws. And I said, well, how's your family doing? He said, you know, because I knew them all, while age growing up. He said, we got separated, and we just don't do things together anymore. Just lost him. I lost track of him. In fact, I knew more about one of his cousins than he did. Because I had a respectful time. How in the world do we let our lives get to the point that we don't get along with our relatives? Or we can't mend the problem that we have with our relatives? Or friends, we have broken their spirits or they've broken our spirit. Husband and wife relationships, you know. All of this is available through wisdom. It's not just getting all the answers, it's being able to apply them to every part of your life. Neighbors, problem with neighbors, problem with your kids. Yeah, Kathy?
Wisdom, couldn't you say also it's being able to make good choices?
Yes.
That's exactly what it's all about.
I mean, because...
In every aspect.
Yes, and you'd be thinking all the time, you know, what would Jesus do in the same situation?
Mm-hmm.
And when you were asking about how people were getting away from that, it's because they're losing the faith that they started mm-hmm. with as just children, probably. And then when troubles arise, they just go their separate ways. People are mobile all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They're never in the same place, so you lose track of, mm-hmm. of each other, and it's sad because I'm kind of in the same boat. I know my nieces and nephews, but we really don't have much in common
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, I mean, it's not a bad thing, but it would be nice to be able to call on them for prayers or strength
mm-hmm.
or something, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't even know if their faith is as strong as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. It, keeping our family strengthened or prayed for or whatever to make us come together and make good choices
mm-hmm.
so that we don't fall apart.
Godly wisdom will help you in financial situations. It will help you in when someone wants to, and you know the basically I said you know this, you know what they tell you the situation is, and your heart is telling you, you know, yeah, and he really needs me to lend him $20,000, he really needs me to get him out of this big bind he's in. But godly wisdom will help you through that. Where it would be the godly thing to do, not
the
thing to do, but where the God would tell you how to handle that. As we get on in Proverbs, you'll see where those specifics, family relationship, neighbor relationship, working relationships, financial relationship, all of that will come in, and you'll see how all this is going to fit together. Yeah, Judy.
Godly wisdom to me is also giving you the strength to make difficult decisions
within
your family bonds. To me, that is a comfortable thing to know that God's wisdom helps me to make these difficult decisions, especially when it comes within your own family
struggles. Oh, yeah.
That's when heartstrings are involved, and then they have to say, well, I'm going to have to step away from you because I don't support what you're doing. That's your godly wisdom and God-given strength to get you through this. But it also protects you from falling into the same snares that whatever they are doing, that his wisdom tells you, you need to remove yourself from this. You know, and you let them know what's wrong, but you remove yourself from that situation.
When you think about it, and you ponder over a situation like that, of course you got your heartstrings pulling at you, but then you got a very close relative, son, mother, brother, whatever it is, that they're pleading with you. One person in trouble is bad enough. When you jump in the same mud hole that he's in,
yeah.
Then you got two people in trouble.
Yeah.
And what have you accomplished? You just worsen the problem. There comes a time when the heartstrings have to yield. And and use good common sense on how to handle it. It didn't take me very long to realize that unless I was financially able to give that money, and the need was there, and I could give it, then I don't co-sign. I'm not going on somebody else's note, somebody else's debt. I'm just not going to do it. Just not going to do it. But all that's covered. We're going to get to that. That's why you can just see it. This book is just going to, the proverb is going to become wisdom to you before you're through here. Yeah, Chuck.
Yeah. Of course, part of the circumstances we find ourselves, whether it's at jobs or family, secular relationships, it's because we're in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with worldly people. That their priorities are not usually with your best interest at heart. They're good at smoke and mirrors. It's, you know, it's all fun and games until the money runs out, and then where are they?
Mm-hmm.
So again, our happily ever after is not here.
No.
Our happily ever after, just to keep it real, is in heaven. It will be a struggle. From the day that we're born to the time the good Lord takes us. But in that journey, we are blessed to have the Scriptures, the Holy Word, to help us not make a lot of those errors and avoid problems, but also give us the knowledge of to know what is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And again, to take appropriate action.
Yes. Yeah, the knowledge and the wisdom to discern is what's evil and what's, you know.
Even in family members.
That's right.
Even in family members. Yeah, again, one of many scriptures over here in Colossians 1:18, where it says, and he, and it's talking about Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of us don't appreciate what that's instructing. He gets first fruits, the first best of everything. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, your efforts, your intentions, everything should be based on him.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, we also go on and say that's more important than the spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the spouse that the good Lord has given you, that is a gift from him himself.
Amen.
But that is not to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
That is not to be instead of him.
Mm-hmm.
He gets first.
Chuck, in that, because I'm looking at all this class, none of us are really young. We've got some here younger, you know, than some of the rest of us. But we've got many more decisions, unless the Lord comes very quickly, to make. So we're never too old to say, hey, I want to make good decisions for the rest of my life. You know? So I want to learn something real quick. I've made enough mistakes. I want to make good decisions the rest of my life. So it's still time to dig in here, you know, to get to meet of what God's trying to tell us here. Yeah, Judy.
We also have to remember that knowledge is a never-ending thing. You never get enough knowledge. You constantly learn, and especially when you read, you know, God's Word. There has never been a time when I opened up the Bible that I didn't learn something,
mm-hmm.
whether it was through Proverbs or the rest of the Bible. There's always something that maybe before I read over it, but all of a sudden it just kind of hits you, and you gain new understanding of what you read, and it's a learning thing. It's a gaining wisdom and knowledge.
It's wisdom. You knowledge those facts out there. We put all them facts in there, but if we can't have the wisdom to start using those the right way, then we've not gotten anywhere. Wes, did you have your hand up back here?
No, I'm just
Okay, let's get... We've got to keep going. Verse 8, exalt her. In other words, when you know this wisdom, and you know that God is willingly trying to give it to you, exalt her, and she will promote you. In other words, wisdom will honor you. You get wisdom, and wisdom will then honor you. Not only get it, But use it wisely when you get it. Now, you can use wisdom in several ways. Godly wisdom can only be done wisely. You can be you can have a lot of wisdom on how to crack safes, but it can be done wrong. It can be done wrong. So
use it wisely,
and it will bring you honor when you embrace her. Verse 9 says, she will place on your head an ornament of grace. How many times in prior chapters have we heard about that ornament ring, that thing you get around your head, or that thing that if people want to honor you, they put it around your neck. I think it's called a placer or something like that, the word for it. And that was the highest esteem you could have, was for somebody to put that thing around your neck and you just walk around there. The Pharisees took it to the extreme, but that was phylacteries, you know, trying to show how noble and great they were by wearing phylacteries. And then they started building them up. So that was a sign of honor to be able to have something like that around your neck. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. It will become obvious to everybody that you're a wise person. A crown of glory she will give to you. I mean, these are all blessings that God's willing to give you if you'll just take His wisdom, accept His wisdom. And I plead with all of us in this class, including myself, to absorb this in here. Let's get God's free wisdom and then keep adding to it. And verse 10 says, "Hear, my son." Again, going back like almost to the very first verse of this chapter here, another way of sitting down and saying, "Won't you listen to me? Are you listening to me?" Sometimes you have to ask your own kid, "Are you listening to me?" You're talking to him, but sometimes you just don't see anything in his eyes, you know, when you're looking at anybody there. "So are you listening to me? Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." How can wisdom add to the years of your life? Give me a way.
It'll be more fruitful. Like, you'll get more out of your life if it's...
I'm talking about actually adding time. How can being wise add more time to your life?
Well, it tells us that you will have health, you know.
Good health. Health
is well. It's good for your bones. Mm-hmm. That kind of
how about you getting yourself in a situation you shouldn't be in and somebody's got a gun in their hand? Yeah. You shouldn't even be over there where those people got the gun in their hand. Hell, mm-hmm. That is your life if you don't put yourself in situations you should never be in.
Yeah.
Be in the gang. Or running with the gang. Getting into fights with people. Then they don't fight. They want to either stab you or shoot you. There's no fight anymore. Back when we were kids, we never even thought about a knife. Just crazy the way this world's gotten to. And then health is the same way. You just keep, you do the right things, eat the right things, be in the right places, work hard to make sure you got enough food to put on the table. All that will add to your health. So life and health goes with that. And years will be added, and your life will be many.
He says, "I have taught you in the way of wisdom." How did God teach
us in the way of wisdom? Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 1:30. Someone turn to that and read that for me. First Corinthians 1:30.
1:30.
Paul talking.
"It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness and holiness and redemption."
Our coming to and accepting Jesus is God's way of giving us wisdom. It came through Jesus. He says, "I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered." He removes a lot of obstacles that we have in front of us. He leaves some obstacles so he'll see how we handle them. If we don't handle them right, we get disciplined. "When you run, you will not stumble. you'll achieve your goal. You want wisdom so much that you'll run for it. You'll put out an energy and effort to get to it. It says, take hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Hold on to her. Keep her, for she is your life. This life and life eternal. Then in verse 14, he kind of changes the context a little bit. He says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on by. I mean, you can't be more emphatic than that. Get away from it. We're smart enough. We're smart enough to recognize evil. Sometimes we get trapped by it. Sometimes it pulls us. But most of the times we know. It says, for evil, in verse 16, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil. What kind of evil is that when it possesses you so much that you think about it all the time and you can't wait to do it? There's two, I remember two kinds, peccandis and peccatories. Peccandis is sin. We all sin. It's a sin that we do and repent of. Peccatories is that sin that you plot to do. You can't wait to do. You wait around in subways to see somebody who's innocent and you knock them over onto the tracks. Or you grab some lady when she's by herself and throw her down and not only grab her pocketbook, but you stomp on her. That's evil. That's peccatorious evil. We pray that we never, ever get to that. But we plot to do that all the time. Since they don't sleep, unless they have done evil, it's so much part of their life, and the sleep is taken away from them, unless they see someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. It's just become a part of their life. But then he changes it a little bit in verse 18. He says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun. We walk in God's shining sun, by the way. It shines brighter every day until that perfect day. Goes back and says the way of the wicked is darkness. There's no light in wickedness. Most crimes are done, you know, after the sun goes down. Well, majority of it is after the sun goes down. They love darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They're so out of touch or unrelated to God. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Pay attention to me. I hear a father saying, pay attention to me. I'm telling you something important. Listen to me. He says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Nothing's more precious than what we have in the middle of our heart that we keep deep in our heart. Yeah,
you know, we read, prior to that, we read what sin can get you into. And again, here, God repeats what he said prior to this. He's, but if you keep my wisdom, it will keep you from going down that path.
Mm-hmm.
Again, don't let wisdom out of your sight. Keep it close by. And to me, that is one of the most important things that we as Christians can have, is that wisdom. It keeps us from jeopardy in this life, but it also keeps our destination firmly in front of us. You know what I'm saying is that promise after this life is over is ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep that wisdom, that is in sight, because wisdom will keep you from straying from the right path, keeping you on the straight and narrow, and keeping you from these dark, evil things that we just prior to that. And we have this in the world.
Oh, we do.
You know, we do it, and it just, it boggles the mind how people can be that evil but they can, and wisdom will keep you from that.
I just saw that. Probably should never watch TV on Sunday mornings, but I just saw that was some university was having the speaker in there, and the speaker had made a movie that a woman is a female or a female is a woman, and that's all about people trying to get these genders and all mixed up. And they were picketing out in front of this college, University of Wisconsin, by the way, in Madison, Wisconsin. And this crowd out there with the megaphones protesting all this. Some guy with his hair bleached all red was chewing up a Bible. He had a Bible in his hand. He's talking about evil in this world. I know his mother and dad have to be proud of him. Have to be, huh? I tell you. Okay. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That's the place you can keep them. For their life to those who find them, and health to the flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. You know, nothing is more precious than in your heart. You protect that heart too. For out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from your deceitful mouth, a lying mouth, a foul mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Look in verse 25, says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Straight ahead is not looking to the right over there. It's not looking to the left. Always remember, there's a ditch over there. There's a ditch on this side of the road too. If you don't keep that straight and narrow, you go that way, and there's ditches on both sides of the road. And not just on one side. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path your feet take. Before you go down that dark road, before you go down that street that you shouldn't be on, before you go down the path that you know there's not good things down there, ponder where you let your feet take you. By the way, the next chapter, and it's just going to be the beginning of wisdom on adultery. And it always, I'm amazed as it goes through that thing, it always uses the woman as the evil one and don't want to go down her path or down by her house. But it takes two. It takes two. We'll be mindful of that when we get into that. But that's another lesson. Part of the path of your feet, let all your ways be established. Let everybody know that you are not that kind of a person. It'll become part of your character. They'll know you. They'll know who you are. Do not turn to the right nor to the left, but remove your foot from evil. Just get out of there. The ditch always has, the road always has ditches on both sides. And you can fall into those. Thank y'all. That's we're 1 minute early, but it's okay. Next week, I think, is going to be a longer lesson with me. We'll see how that goes.
James?
Yeah.
Why do you think the Bible refers to wisdom as a she?
As a what?
As she. She. You know, it's all the verses. Do not forsake.
Oh, as a she. I don't know. It's just like why does he always use the son, my son, my son? You know, but he's talking to all of us.
That's right.
He's talking to all of us. But that's putting honor to the, you know, when you put that to a woman, yeah, to a gender. Deuteronomy 29:29, never forget that thing. The secret things belong unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. But those things that are revealed are there for our learning and knowledge. Always remember that, because I can't answer everything.
Right.
Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord. Thank you guys for the class this morning. I'm so enthused over this class here, because I've never taught it in the manner of a conversation. I've always taught it where you just go over it. And then I realized as I was doing that, I've been doing it the way I've been reading it, just trying to read through it, but never sitting down trying to absorb it as if someone was talking to me word for word. So it's a blessing to me to be able to do it. Okay, you guys. Good. Good to have you all in here.